we're very thankful this morning to have a special treat in store, and that is for Brother Robbie Sipes is going to be bringing our message. Most of you know Robbie, maybe a few of you that are new that don't know Robbie. He's from over in Statesville, North Carolina, people used to introduce him as the son of Brian Sipes. Now they introduce Brian as the father of Robbie Sipes. So Robbie is he helps in the teaching ministry there. He also teaches a Bible study over in Asheville, North Carolina. And Robbie and Kim and the kids, they come up almost every year at New Year's and spend it with Stephanie and Billy and the kids. And I was thinking this morning that Robbie and Kim and the kids are as close to being family as you can be without actually being family. And we are very close to them, and Brian and June, and love them in the Lord. And the kids come up for Bible school, and so we're very thankful that he's here today to teach us. And I love hearing him. Matter of fact, we heard him in Sunday school a couple of weeks back, played a video from Robbie at one of the Bible conferences, and always enjoys preaching, and we're glad to have you, Robbie, so come on.
It's good to be here. I'm going to have to copyright that video so you can't be... No, I'm just... Oh, it is an honor to be here this morning, and we love coming here and the church here. The piano and organ, you don't know what you have there. At our church, our piano player has been sick now for a while, and we have a lady who comes maybe once a month and plays when she comes, and she doesn't come very often. And other than that, we have a guitar and the songs we sing, but it's just nothing like having a piano and the beautiful playing and to sing and to make melody in your heart to the Lord. And so you guys really need to appreciate that. I'm just honored to get to speak. You didn't get to hear one of the best preachers in the country last week because of the snow, and now you're not getting to hear him again. You really have a great man of God here in Brother Steve as a preacher and a teacher, and I listen to his messages quite often on the internet, and a lot of people in North Carolina do as well. So your ministry here at this church is a blessing to a lot of people. I know I'm from North Carolina, and so any of you want to throw anything at me, go ahead now and get it over with. The Tennessee fans, and I'm joking. I won't even talk about that. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Appreciate Billy and Stephanie allowing us to come yesterday. At one point yesterday, Billy and I had three games on at the same time watching football yesterday. He had a picture and a picture, then he had his laptop on top of the TV. And so we were able to watch all three games at one time. That takes talent. or sickness or something, I don't know. Oh, man. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come here today and for health and strength that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this church and for the people that are here today, Lord. Lord, we pray for that prayer request, Lord, that you know about. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be done in that situation. Lord, we pray as we open up your word today, Lord, that you would speak to us and teach us those things out of your word that you would have us to know. Lord, we pray that if there'd be one here today who's lost, that today would be the day, Lord, that they would call upon you, believing that you died for them on the cross. And Lord, we'll give you praise and glory for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this, of course, I guess by most people's opinion, and you can do with whatever you want to with an opinion, but believe that this is the last or one of the last books that the Apostle Paul wrote. And it pretty much sounds that way from what he's saying here in chapter 4 as we begin to read. He's in prison here, and he's given some last-minute instructions to Timothy and some warnings. And I want to start reading verse 5 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. As I said, this is pretty much a given here that Paul is not expecting to be released from prison. And he is ready to be offered. The phrase here that I want to look at today primarily is in verse 7, where he says that he's finished his course. And I want to talk about the course today that Paul is talking about here. The course, we think about a course, we think about a race course in cross country, long distance running. There is a course that's marked out, and they run that course, and they run it completely. Sometimes if it's not long enough, they run it twice, but it is a specific place that they're running, and it's marked, and they're running with a goal in mind, and that is to finish the course. And Paul looks at his life here at the end of his life as a course. And I want to look at what Paul's course was and kind of look also at what our course in our life is. Paul, of course, his course in, hold on to 2 Timothy or put something there. We're going to be coming back there. But look over in Romans chapter 11. And we're going to look at some things about the Apostle Paul and his course and his office, his purpose, his role that he played, in the body of Christ. And this is nothing new. There is the King James Bible has been here at 2011. Now it's 400 years, and so there's nothing new here. And I'm glad, because most things coming out new aren't near as good as the old. But in Romans 11, Paul says in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." His office, his role, was the apostle of the Gentiles. He was the apostle of the Gentiles, and he magnified that. He wanted people to know that about him. That was something that he magnified. He didn't magnify himself. He didn't magnify his flesh. He didn't magnify what he did. He magnified the course and the role that he played, the ministry that he had, and he was the apostle of the Gentiles. And he made that known, and he talks about that over again over in chapter 15 of Romans. In chapter 15. In verse 16, of chapter 15 of Romans, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Again, he was the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, and he magnified that. That was his course, that was his office. That was his role that he played, one of the roles that he played. Another thing that Paul said is over in 2 Timothy, where we were, but look in chapter 1. in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." He was various roles here. He was a preacher. He was a teacher, and he was an apostle of the Gentiles. He had multiple roles, but this was his course. This was the thing that God had given him. In fact, that word there, appointed, is a word we're going to look at in just a few minutes as something that God had commissioned him. God had given him specifically to do in his course was to be a preacher, a teacher, an apostle of the Gentiles. And Paul is our pattern. Look up in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. In verse 15, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should thereafter or hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul's pattern, his course was to be a pattern of salvation, a pattern to them which should also believe. And so he was first. He said, "In me first." And so we then follow that pattern. We then look at the pattern that has been given to us by the Apostle Paul, and we look at that pattern. We have Romans through Philemon to show us salvation in the dispensation of grace. We have Romans through Philemon to show us the doctrine by which we are to be established in the dispensation of grace. Now that doesn't mean we throw the rest of it out. No, it's there for our learning and our admonition in light of what Paul has given us in the dispensation of grace. That's his course. That was his role. He was the master builder. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "I have laid the foundation. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." And then we build on that foundation. But I want to look at what Paul considered about this course. Look over in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Acts 20:24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Notice here how Paul's course is related to a ministry that he received from the Lord. You see, everybody in this building today is on a course. Paul was on a course. He was on a course here as the minister of the Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. But he established this course when he was saved. This course began for him the moment that he trusted Christ as a Savior. Everyone in this building who's saved today is on a course like Paul was on. You are on a course. I think about that song, and it's an old song. I think Rascal Flatts revisited it. Life is a highway. And you're on a course. If you're saved today, you have a course. It's not just Paul who has a course. It's not just a few select people that have a course. You were given a course. And I want to show that to you today. And I want you to be able to do to, like Paul says here in verse 24, to finish my course with joy. To finish the course. To finish your course with joy. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Paul, in Acts chapter 9, and I believe it's Acts chapter 9. There's some people today who are saying it's not Acts 9, that's fine, whatever. Until I see otherwise, I believe that in Acts chapter 9, Paul was saved and placed into the body of Christ. And I believe that at that moment in time, he was placed into the body of Christ, and that's why he can say, in me first, that he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who after should believe. And Paul at that time began a course. He said, what wilt thou have me to do? And at that point, the Lord began to direct Paul. You see, Paul was on a different course before that. Paul was on a course of destruction and evil and doing wicked works in the name of religion. And then in Acts chapter 9, that changed. He began a different course in his life. His life changed in Acts chapter 9. He was placed into the body of Christ. And at that point, he was given a ministry. Notice what Paul compares here with the body of Christ as body parts. Notice in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. That word set there fascinates me. That word set is you set something there and it stays there. We're not sitting in the body of Christ, S-I-T. We're set. That means it's there. It's permanently set. You are exactly, if you're saved today, you are exactly where God wants you to be in the body of Christ. You are at the exact place and time where you're supposed to be, and you're set there. And that word set has to do with being given something and appointed to something. Not just as Paul was appointed. In fact, the word, go back over to 1 Timothy. Hold on to 1 Corinthians and look back over in 1 Timothy. Notice verse chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. The word ordained is the same Greek word as the word set in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In other words, God has ordained you into the position of the body of Christ that He's given you. You have a position, you have a ministry, you have an office, just as Paul had an office in the body of Christ. And the hand can't say to the foot, I'm greater than you. And the eye can't say that. And that's the whole point of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every member of the body of Christ is set into the body of Christ. And you, as a member of the body of Christ, are on a course to fulfill that ministry that you've been given to do. You have a ministry. You have a purpose. We're not just here to hang out until the Lord gets something built for us and then we go. That's not the purpose. We have a purpose here on the planet in the dispensation of grace, and it revolves around what Paul was just discussing there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what it says. Look on up in the verse, or in the chapter, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. In other words, the ministry that Paul had, the position that Paul had in the body of Christ, the ordination that he had, centered around the fact that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that He has provided a means for that to happen through the death of His Son, who became a ransom for all. That is what our ministry in the body of Christ centers around. It centers around that message of one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. That is what our ministry in the body of Christ, that is what our course has to do with. That's what it centers around. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word commit there, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Same word as set in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He has set the members in the body as it had pleased him. He's committed something to you. You say, well, I don't want anything committed to me. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, that was committed unto you. That ministry to get that message out you're ordained to help get that message out. It is appointed unto you to get that message out. You see, it's not I can't decide if I should do this or not. No, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, a dispensation of the gospel has been committed unto me. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, but if I do this thing, what? Willingly, a reward. See, you've been given the commission. You've been given the ministry. You're in the race, folks. You're in the race. So you run the race. Why? Because if you run that race, there's a reward. That's where Paul's treasure was. That's how you finish your course with joy. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter, where we started in chapter 4. of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And before we go to 2 Corinthians 4, turn back to Matthew. I want to pick up something in Matthew chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and Matthew chapter 6. As we begin a new year, a lot of times people look at the new year as a way to renew, a way to refocus, a way to get back to the purpose of things. And so hopefully, maybe that might be what this message does. If it doesn't, it's my fault. But notice in Matthew chapter 6, in just a short verse here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So my question for you who are saved today is, where is your treasure? What is it that you deem important? What is it that you count as being important in your life? That's where your heart's going to be. That's what you're going to serve. If the fulfilling of your flesh and the lust of your flesh is your treasure, then that's what you're going to do. You know, it comes down to people do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. You know, a lot of times when you show them the grace message of Christ dying for all of your sins and all your sins are forgiven, and they say things like, well, you know, if I believed that, I'd just go out and rob a bank, or I'd go out. Well, you would do that anyway if that's what you wanted to do. If you didn't have the fear of getting caught, that's what a lot of people would do. You do what you want to do. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is also. Well, let's see where Paul's treasure was. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. His treasure was that crown. His treasure was that reward. That his treasure was to finish the course with joy. Hold on to 2 Timothy and look over in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to compare Paul's treasure with another man's treasure in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What's before him? The end of the course. The end of the race. I press, verse 14, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was what he was pressing for. That was his goal. That was what he saw. I'm a assistant principal at a middle school. A lot of you know that. Brother Mark was talking about worst thing he did was take paper towels and toilet paper and throw them up on the ceiling. Yeah, I know about people that do that. They still do that. But I forgot what I was even going to say. No. He pressed toward that mark of the high calling. He had a goal in mind. What I was going to say is we had a training that we did with teachers, at the beginning of the school year, and it had to do with humanistic stuff, but there was a couple of good points in there, and it had to do with a man by the name of Stephen Covey wrote a book about the habits of highly successful people or something like that. Some of you may be aware of that book, but one of the traits of highly successful people is beginning with the end in mind. In other words, you begin your task, and your task remains with what's at the end. You know, I think about, as we think about life and we think about our course and we think about, you know, in a little bit I'm going to be traveling on the interstate. And I'm traveling on the interstate and my goal is to get to exit 150 off of Highway or Interstate 77 in Statesville, North Carolina. And I want to get there. And I want to get there fast. Now, the rest of the kids and Kim, they probably won't stop a few times, but if it was up to me, hammer down, man. Get on with it. But as you go down the interstate and you've got a goal in mind, and that's exit 150, Interstate 77. But I will pass along the way hundreds of exits that I could get off. Every mile or so, there'll be an opportunity for me to get off the exit. And what's that going to do to my time? What's that going to do for my goal? It's going to make me late, isn't it? It's going to be delayed. It's going to get me off track. Well, folks, this world has exits all the time that's going to get you off track of what you're supposed to be doing in the body of Christ. There are all sorts of exits. There are all sorts of detours. There's all sorts of things that the God of this world and your flesh will want to take. And that's why it's so important to stay focused on the Word of God and stay focused on what the end is and what your true treasure is, because your true treasure is that reward. It is that pressing toward the mark of the high calling. It is that end in mind of one day standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and being given a reward and a crown for your service. That's the end. That's the end of the course. You know, we only have so much time here. We only have so much time. And there was a man, back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there was a man who Paul talks about. He got off one of those exit ramps. Notice verse 10 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas. You can read about Demas in Paul's other epistles, and he was right there with him, man. He was following Paul. He was doing the things that he was supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, he saw an exit that had a Dairy Queen, and he was stopping to get him a blizzard. You know? It's easy to do. Paul said that in the latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You've got to guard that, folks. You've got to be on guard for that. And the way that you do that is by coming here and being established in the Word of God, so that you won't be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So that cunning men and craftiness, lying in wait to deceive, can't do that to you. They can't pull you off. But it's not just false doctrine that can do that. The love and the care of this world can do that to you. It can cause you to forget about what the end is. Forget about what we're supposed to do. You know, he told Timothy in chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse 5. But watch thou at all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I would say that's what you need to make full proof of your ministry. You know what that means? That means every time you get a chance to minister, you minister. Anytime you see a need. You know, the Lord today is building a body, the body of Christ. And He says that we are fellow laborers and that we're building, we're helping to build the body of Christ by sharing the gospel. And I think about a construction site, and several years ago, we were building a fellowship hall at the church, and we all did it ourselves. You know, we have some really great carpenters. And they knew what they were doing. And they had put the pattern there, and they were following that pattern. Now, me, I can't hardly hammer a nail without it bending and warping and having to pull it out. I'm not a carpenter. I don't have that skill. Hey, but I can lift, and I can carry 2x4s, and I can climb up a ladder and bring somebody something. And so, that's how the body of Christ is. Not everybody stands up here. Not everybody has the gift and the office of a preacher or a teacher. Not everybody has the gift to play. Not everybody has the technological skills to do websites and all of that. But but everybody can do something. Whatever it is, do it. Make full proof of your ministry. Brother Mark read a passage over in Ephesians this morning that said that redeem the time. You know what that means? Use every bit of time you've got. You know why? Because we, as members of the body of Christ, right now where we're at is exactly where God wanted us to be. Right now, do you realize that you're a new creature in Christ? In other words, there's not anybody in the world that can do what you can do right now for the Lord and the body of Christ. Only you can do certain things. Only you can reach certain people. You know, when the rapture takes place and we're given our new body, and the Bible says we're going to have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body, at that point in time, it will be easy to serve the Lord. And it will be easy for us because we won't have this flesh that's going to bog us down and keep us from serving Him. Right now is when it's hard. Right now, we're given the opportunity to serve the Lord in vile bodies. We're holy and without blame before Him in love in vile bodies. We're ordained unto good works in vile bodies. And we have an opportunity, a short time span, to serve the Lord in the capacity that we're serving Him. Because once the rapture takes place, or we die, we won't have that opportunity anymore. It'll just be, we'll just do it. Right now is when it's hard. And right now is where you earn your rewards. Right now is when you win the crown. Now, there may be somebody in here today and you've never even trusted Christ. And all the things that I've talked about as the course, you're not there. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's another course. I said earlier when I started that everybody in this building is on a course. And that's very true. My question for you today is, which course are you on? Are you on the course that will lead to reward, to eternal life, through trusting Christ as your Savior? Or are you in the course of this world and you're just floating downstream? And you're being led, it says. The prince of the power of the air, the children that now worketh, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The book of Proverbs says there's a way, you don't have to turn there, but it says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you on that course today? If you are, Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, became a ransom for all. He became a ransom for you. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. And the moment that you will trust Him, the moment that you will believe in Him, and you don't have to get up, you don't have to come down here, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to say a certain prayer, you don't have to do anything, but right there where you are, say, Lord, I am committing my salvation unto You. I believe You died for me. And at that moment in time, you're placed in the course that leads to eternal life. Now, you might get off an exit here or there, but at the end, you'll be saved if you'll trust Him. If you'll believe that He died for you, you can be saved. Brother Steve.